God is looking out for everybody. God knows whether you're in sin right now. God knows whether you've repented of that sin. God knows if you're trying to walk the right path. God knows if you are struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling with your children. God knows these things. He knows what's happening in your life right now. We're doing a series from the Old Testament called Villains and Victors. And the idea behind it is to study some of the Old Testament characters and learn from them so that we can make sure that we are victors and not villains. Amen? And today we're going to talk about Moses. And the interesting thing about Moses, D.L. Moody said this once. He said, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. And then he spent another 40 years learning that he was a nobody. And then he spent his last 40 years learning or discovering what God can do with a nobody. And there's some really good lessons for us in this. And the question I have for you, I want you to kind of keep in the back of your mind, what is it that I would like to do for God if I had the chance? Because a lot of times I think we as Christians, as we as believers, we want God to do for us, but we don't necessarily think about what we want to do for God. I was reminded this week from Sandy West about Kennedy's quote, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And I'm going to rephrase it today, ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for God. There's some lessons here in the burning bush if you have your sermon notes and you want to look at it. There are three things that I want you to get from the five verses that were read to you. Number one, God often appears in the ordinary. God often appears in the ordinary. And the reason why I want you to notice that is because you say, well, it was a burning bush. But the thing of it was, is Moses had seen a burning bush before. It's just that this one did not burn up. And when we were down in the Dominican Republic doing a little mission trip with a bunch of the kids, John Shackelford had all of us every night at the devotional. He asked us this question, where did you see God today? And first time that he asked the question, it was kind of funny because everybody was hemming and hawing. They didn't really know how to answer. And the second day, they came up with a little bit better answer. But by the third and the fourth day, everybody was on fire to say where they saw God today. And the problem with most of us is we don't see God because we're not looking for him. But God will often appear in the ordinary. Number two, God must get our attention before he can present himself to us. God must get our attention before he can present himself to us. And the reason behind that is because we get so busy with all the things that are going on in life. Amen? I know sometimes I get so focused on things that I'm working on that I don't even notice that Nancy came in the room. And then I look up, I have a heart attack, and it starts all over again. But the thing of it is God will get your attention in different ways if he wants to talk to you. And I'm going to tell you this, you don't want some of these ways. I've watched God get people's attention through a health scare. I've watched God get people's attention through a tragedy that happens to them. I've watched God get people's attention through the death of a loved one. I know it's sad to say, but I have seen so many children who won't recognize God, and they have a parent that's praying for them and wanting to be with them in this walk of life called Christianity, and they just kind of refuse to do it. And then when that parent dies, they repent and come back to the Lord. But the real way I think God gets our attention, I think God gets our attention through worship. I think if you were in here this morning, and I've got to tell you, Sean just does a great job, amen? Amen. But if you were listening to that song, God is Love, today, and I'm going to just tell you, Sean, I forbid you to sing that again before I preach. And here's why. Both of my sons were baptized. I baptized both of them. And that song was sung after their baptisms. And every time we sing that song, I hear their voices as they're changing clothes in the closet that they were changing clothes in, singing God is Love. You see, God will get your attention in worship somehow in order that you will be faithful to Him. The third thing here is in God's presence, the ground we are on is always holy. When I first started preaching, it was a small church, and there was probably about 8-9 men that would get together on Thursday nights for men's Bible study, and we'd get around. And there was this guy that every time he came in, his name was Bob DeLoach, and every time Bob came in, he would take off his shoes. And I would think, well, that's a little gross. His feet didn't smell, or at least they didn't smell where I was sitting. But I was thinking, Bob, why do you always take your shoes off when you come into your feet hurt? What's going on here? And he said to me, he says, Neil, whenever we're together like this and we're praying, I take my shoes off because it becomes holy ground. And whenever we're in the presence of God, whether it's here at worship or whether it's at the side of somebody we love that is dying or whether it is in a classroom with small children, when we're in God's presence, it's holy ground. So let's look at this story about Moses and his excuses, because before he could become a victor, he had to get over some excuses. And I want to tell you today, this story today, as I'm reading it, as I'm thinking about it today, this story is for us today, because we all have the same excuses that Moses had for not doing what God wants us to do. And if you look at this, it says here in Exodus chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Termites, the Perizzites, Hivites, I'm just making sure you're paying attention, and the Jebusites. Now, the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Number one, God wants all of us to know these four things. God is the enabler of past generations. God is the enabler of past generations. If you can go back and you can see what God does and has done in past generations, you're going to see that God enables His people. As a matter of fact, when you say the word history, it is because it is His story. And you need to remember that God will enable you because He's enabled past generations. Number two, God knows what is happening in your life. God knows what's happening in your life right now, good, bad, and indifferent. I know sometimes we think, well, he's an elder. Yeah, God's looking out for him, but God is looking out for everybody. God knows whether you're in sin right now. God knows whether you've repented of that sin. God knows if you're trying to walk the right path. God knows if you are struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling with your children. God knows these things. He knows what's happening in your life right now. The third thing is God will deliver his people. God will deliver His people. Now, I don't want you to think that God will deliver everyone, because God's not going to deliver everyone. He is going to deliver His people. And you got to really remember that, because if you're not one of His people, you can't expect Him to deliver you. But He is going to deliver His people. And I can't wait to get to my next sermon, because I've already started writing it. But, you know, have you heard that life is not fair? Have y'all heard that? The best part about that is heaven is more than fair. Heaven is more than fair. All right, number four, God uses people to do His work. God uses people to do His work. And I want you to really stop right there and think about this for just a moment. Have you ever worked at a place where you had one or maybe two of those employees that just didn't want to do their job? Some of you are saying yes. Some of you are thinking, well, I've never seen that. It's because you're that person. I'm just telling you. But there's always, in every company and every place you work, there's always somebody that just doesn't want to work. Amen? Well, think about it in the church. Are you that person in the church? Are you the person that doesn't want to work? Are you the person that wants to come in here, listen to gourmet sermons every week, hear some of the finest song you can find anywhere, and go out the door and never lift your hand to do the work of God? Because if that's you, you're just like the people you worked for that didn't want to do the job. So, Moses' excuses and God's answers. I didn't have time to go through every single verse on here, but I've got some of the verses here. The first excuse Moses had is, who am I? And I think that's the excuse that so many of us have today. Who am I? I ask myself that all the time. I am so fortunate that God uses me in this position, but every Sunday afternoon when I sit down to finish a sermon or to write on a sermon, I think, who am I that I should get up and preach? Who am I that I should be able to share the gospel with other people? Look at what he says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, and I want you to underline these words, I will be with you. Underline those words, because whatever it is you want to do for God, whoever it is you want to talk to about God, whoever it is that you want to bring to church with you that you're nervous about asking, whoever it is that you want to start a Bible study with, you need to remember, God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses had a confidence problem, so God gave him a promise. Moses had a confidence problem, so God gave him a promise. And that promise is for us today. I know a lot of us think, I would like to do more, but who am I? God is giving us a promise that He will be with us. The second excuse, He says, what shall I tell them? Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you, and they ask, what is His name? Then what shall I tell them? Well, through verses 14 through 22, the number one, letter A, communicate that I am sent you. Communicate that the I am sent you. And you need to remember that, because when we're doing God's work, God sent us to do His work. And here's the thing that I had to get over. A lot of times when I go to do God's work, it doesn't turn out the way I want it to. It doesn't happen the way I think it ought to. What happens sometimes when I go out to do God's work, people reject me. I know it's hard to believe, but it happens. Sometimes when I go out to do God's work and I intend to see people go in this direction and they go in that direction, guess what? I'm still doing God's work, and I need to remember who sent me. Letter B, communicate God's faithfulness. You want to know how to talk to people about God? You need to communicate how faithful God is to his people. Letter C, communicate God's concern for them. Communicate God's concern for the lost. Communicate God's concern for the people that are going through problems. One of the greatest things that this church does is the prayers and the cards that get sent to people who are sick and having a struggle right now. That is one of the greatest things that we do because we communicate God's concern through us. Letter D, communicate the possibilities. Communicate the possibilities. So many people in this world today are living hopeless lives and they're struggling just to get through. And we've got to be the people that communicate the possibilities of a greater life. Letter A, communicate their responsibilities. You see, you can't just tell people that God's grace is going to cover them and that God's grace is going to save them. You've got to communicate their responsibilities to that grace. You see, if you have faith without works, you're not going anywhere. Letter F, communicate that God is with them. Communicate that God is with them. If you're seeking God, God will be with you. The third excuse that they have is, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? And I say the Lord, and say the Lord has appeared to you. Moses had a credibility problem, so he gave him power. And you can read through that and see the different things that God gave him for that. But we have a power today, which is the power of God's word. Amen? I have seen so many people in my lifetime changed because of the power of God's word. And I know for a fact in my life, God's word has pricked my heart over and over again. And I want you to understand that God gave us the power of his word, but even more importantly than that, he has given us the power of his spirit. Because there are things that you and I can never overcome on our own. We've got to have God's spirit in us. Number four, his fourth excuse, I have never been eloquent. Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. And of course, you know that he gave him Aaron as a partner. Moses had a communication problem, so God gave him a partner. Moses is one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, if you were an Israelite and you were growing up, you probably had Moses' pajamas. And you probably slept on a bed with sheets that had the sea parting. Because that's how great of a man that Moses was. And if you were one of those rich kids, you had one of those staffs that you threw down and it wiggled a little bit. You got to pretend it was a snake. I know this because I have seen people who follow Harry Potter going around with little sticks like they're going to do magic. But I want you to understand that Moses, one of the greatest Old Testament heroes, didn't want to become a hero. He didn't want to become a victor. And he had all kinds of excuses not to be a victor. So let's look at some lessons we can learn. Number one, past failures may cause us to be hesitant about doing the work of the Lord. Past failures may cause us to be hesitant about doing the work of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this. If I had just preached one sermon, my very first sermon, guess what? I would never be here today. And I know Ron Moore doesn't believe this, but I have gotten better as I've gotten older. Ron Moore and I have been friends for such a long time. And I'm going to just tell you about this, Ron, and tell you all about Ron. And on the way out today, stop and talk to Ron and try to get him to repent, okay? But every time I preach, Ron will come to me and he'll say, pretty good. Pretty good. I've never gotten a good out of him. Never gotten a great, but pretty good. And that's all he ever tells me. So whenever I see him now, I just look at him and say, you're pretty good. So past failures cause us to be hesitant about doing the work of the Lord. Past failures should cause us to see our weakness and rely on God. Our past failures, the things that we have messed up in, the things that we've not done a good job in, it should cause us to want to rely on God. As a matter of fact, if you're here today and you're struggling with a particular sin, I would say to you, quit trying to fix it yourself and start relying on God, because God can fix your life and you can't. And He has given us His Spirit, and that Spirit is a spirit of power. And when we start relying on God and quit trying to control everything in our lives, we will find peace, we will find joy, and we will find purpose. Number three, God never calls us to any task we can perform acceptably without Him. God never calls us to any task that we can perform acceptably without Him. I'm so excited about the future of this church. The elders are getting together. We're talking about a vision for the next 5 years. We've been praying for it as a church over this past year. We've been praying. We did 40 days of prayer, and we prayed for the future of this church. And I've never been so excited about where we're going. But the thing that keeps coming up is we can't do it without God. And every time we talk about wanting to do something, there's some things that come up. Like one of the things is money. We don't have the money to do this. And I'm like, yes, we do. Have you seen how many people are in here driving those nice cars? We got plenty of money. Guess what? Your money is not your money. It's God's money. That's whose money it is. Because guess what? There's going to come a day, and for some of us, sooner than later, that we're going to leave it all behind. Only the things that you do for God will last. Remember that when you're putting money in your 401k. Think about what it is that God wants you to do. Number four, the moment Moses quit making excuses, God began to solve his problems. The moment Moses quit making excuses, God began to solve his problems. I have so many people in my life, not just here at church, but all around, that when you try to help them, when you try to show them a better way, they start making excuses as to why they can't do what they need to do. And a lot of times they're real problems. Sometimes they're imaginary problems. But God can solve your problems when you quit making excuses and you commit to His will for your life. This church is going to become a city on the hill. The thing that I'm so excited about is we have five pillars that we're basing our future on. Those pillars include worship. They include fellowship. They include ministry, which is service. They include education and edification. They include all five of those pillars, and we'll talk about that when the time comes. But the thing I want you to see is that this church is going to quit making excuses and let God solve our problems. And I don't know how he's going to do it. He hasn't shared that with me yet. But I remember this church 17 years ago, 21 when I started, and there was 35 people in attendance. The budget was $1,000 a week, and the first 3 weeks I was there, they weren't even hitting 400. I remember this church when the elders hired me, and about a month into it, they said, "Neil, if we don't turn things around pretty quick, we're not going to be able to pay you in 6 months." And that is a good way to motivate your preacher. Let me tell you this. God did some amazing things. And not all the people that came over with us those 17 years ago are still with us. Some of them have moved on. Some of them have passed on. But God did amazing things when those 80 people quit making excuses and got to work. And maybe it's time for you to quit making excuses and get to work for God. We sing this invitation song every week. And I know when I start talking about the invitation, I've been there. I mean, my dad used to start doing the invitation and I zoned out, and I just like, "Hurry up and finish this up, Dad. I'm hungry." Or I won't go talk to my friends or something, but I just like, "Let's get this over with." And I am trying so hard to make the invitation different. Because I don't want this song to be, "Okay, it's time for lunch. Where are we going to go eat?" I want this song to be your chance to reflect on where you are with God. Some of you are here today and you're in the right place. You're living like you should be living. You're doing the right things. But there might be something you need to tweak, or it might be a relationship you need to fix. You know, the biggest thing that we have in this earth, the two big commands we have, love God and love others. And I got to tell you, if you're human, that loving others part gets hard sometimes. Amen? And don't look at the person sitting next to you. Nancy's already looking at me. But loving others sometimes is something we've got to work on. We may not have be carrying sin in our life, but it may be a relationship we need to fix. And then there are some of us who are putting on the mask and we're pretending to be good Christians, but deep inside our soul is rotting because of choices that we're making. Or it may be that you're not doing anything wrong, but you're not doing anything right either. I talked about middle of the road Christians. And those are the people that don't do anything really wrong. They want life to be fair. They want everything to be equal. And as long as you don't take too much, they're okay. They'll give a little, but they always want something in response. But then there's the high road Christians. Those are the people that give more than they take. Those are the people that work hard at this church to make sure everything runs smoothly. If we had every member of this church in some kind of ministry where we were serving other people, not just ourselves, but serving other people, we would have such an impact on this community. And part of the goal, as I see what the elders are working on, is for us to become a serving church, not just here, but abroad. Maybe today you need to start thinking about your service. Maybe today you need to start thinking about your sin. Maybe today you need to start thinking about your salvation. Are you in the right perspective with God? And as we sing this invitation song, make a decision today, whether it's a big one or a little one, that you're going to draw nigh to Him so that He can draw nigh to you. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.